All right, here we are, hour three, Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's now the 20th day of March, 2017, republicbroadcasting.org. Keep RBN in your prayers and then give him a dollar or two if you can. Now, we're about to take Betty in North Carolina, but I wanted to play this just for a second. This is Trump and Tucker Carlson, and I heard this the other night. It really kind of pissed me off about Trump, and he's talking about Tucker. You know, Tucker's a real chameleon. He brings up immigration with Trump, and then he's like talks about assimilating Muslims into the United States and so forth and so on. Which, you know what, Trump, he talked real hard during the campaign, and then he backed off, and then he's like, yeah, we're going to try and all this crap. And I'm like, what? You're going to try? And you're getting pissy with Merkel about destroying Germany, but then you're going to try to do this stuff here. So, Mr. Producer, with no further ado, hit clip six real quick.
Last question. European nationalism, obviously, is flowering, and a lot of it is about immigration and culture. Do you think it's possible to move a large Muslim population into the West and successfully integrate them into Western culture? Have you seen that anywhere?
Well, it's not easy, and it certainly hasn't been easy. You look at Germany, you know, I took a lot of heat over Sweden, and then the next day they had this massive riot. Now nobody talks about it. It certainly has not proven to be easy.
Could
at the
we
same
do it here?
Time, well, they've been trying, and we'll let you know. The assimilation has been very, very hard. It's been a very, very difficult process. I want this country to be safe. I want this country to be great. It's called Make America Great Again. That's where I got elected. I want people that love our country, and many Muslims do. Many, many Muslims do. But it has been a hard process. If you look at Germany, what's happened? If you look at Sweden, what's happened? If you look at Brussels, take a look at Brussels. I mean, look what's going on. Take a look at so many other places. It has been a very hard process. We are going to try very, very hard to make it work.
Mr. President, thanks.
Thank you very much.
You could stop it there, but, you know, And I know he's being political, and I know he's playing like 4D chess here with all of the enemy. But I think he should have just, you know, look, and I'm nobody. I'm just a peon here behind a laptop and a microphone. But, you know, I don't like this softening because it's going to give the enemy room to push further. And I realize that these Muslims that come in are not the brains behind their own invasion. There's controllers 3-4 layers above them. These idiots don't even get it. They're the golem. They're the useful idiots, like Lenin said. They're the shock troops. They're the privates, while you have generals who are directing them into all these countries of Europe and so forth. And it's basically a European genocide agenda, and it sucks. And I got to cover this after Betty looks. Oh, we got Betty and Mark's back. But let's take Betty real quick. You know, these kind of things piss me off, but oh, sorry, Betty, I waited too long to take you. Let's take Mark again. Mark, you back with us?
I'm there. I'm here.
All
okay,
right.
Now I'm here.
Okay, so did you hear that clip I just played with Trump and Tucker? What'd you think?
I think Trump's keen on what's going on. My sense of it is that he needs to clarify and reaffirm our distinctions because the enemy wants to erode our distinctions.
Yeah,
they
want to
just
put
us into a modge podge of you know, where we don't, we, you know, everything's eroded. We don't have clear boundaries. We don't have clear distinctions of who we are as a people.
This kind of cholergy Borg, just big omelet of crap. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So back to the point I was making about AMDocs. AMDocs was formed at the same time, the same year as Converse. I think they were created as co-company.
Oh, you're talking about Conversys. 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 Yes. Conversys systems. Well, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. That's in all those books.
Converse Technology, actually. But and what happened is in 2015, Converse divested its business support services to Amdocs. So they started out the same year. They were both formed in Israel, and now they're headquartered in Chesterfield. The other company that's headquartered in, well, not headquartered, but their research division that's headquartered in Chesterfield, the other evil company on the planet, can you guess who that is?
What, Monsanto?
Monsanto. Their research laboratory, that's
Creve Coeur, Chesterfield. That's exactly where, guess what, our governor's from, our Jewish governor, Eric Greitens.
No kidding, yeah. And by the way, on that note, I did want to bring him up because I wanted to ask you, my understanding is he created a non-for-profit foundation to support veterans at some point before he was elected, right? And he was not going to take any money, but then after the fact, he ended up taking $200,000 out of the deal. And I find that very controversial.
Yeah, there's all kinds of little skullduggery in local media here in St. Louis about Greitens, and people had a bad taste in their mouth. And I didn't really dig into it that much. But, the other guy that was running against him, Chris Koster, who was the Democrat, was a very big pro-labor. He was a pro-labor union guy, but he was actually endorsed by the NRA. And so you had this real weird kind of governor's race here where the Democrat was endorsed by the NRA. And he was really kind of like, you know, all the white trade union guys were for Koster. And then you had this kind of shadowy Jewish, questionable Navy SEAL service record Rhodes Scholar Republican who really sucked up the kind of Trump tide, and he won the governorship. Really interesting.
Yeah. So see, there's an example where it's like a hodgepodge. There's no clear distinctions where you can make a clear choice. It's like, well, one's got some good and bad, and the other's got some good and bad. It's like, well, you're you know, who knows? There's neither one is a good choice. But anyway, the other thing I understand about Greitens is now he's setting up some sort of some kind of deal like the Clinton Foundation, where. And he's even got his staff working on it off the books, supposedly. But yet they're working for him at the state, and he's not going to. He's already. I think he sits on the value. He's not going to declare who donates to it.
Let me tell you this as well. I'm a member of all the big gun organizations, right? National Association for Gun Rights, Gun Owners America, NRA. And they've been sending me things about this gentleman that, let's just say, they're kind of freaked out by this Republican Missouri governor, Jewish guy. They're thinking that, let's just say, the hardcore Castle Doctrine, Second Amendment crap, open carry that we've got here now might be somehow at risk with this new Republican. You see what I'm saying?
No kidding.
And so the gun rights people are even looking at this guy like, oh, wait a minute, he's got some this, and this going on, to where I got to look into it further, but it's very interesting.
Yeah. So, one other thing I wanted to share with you, because I know you're into music, back in the, concerning the Tribe, okay, back in the 80s, I worked with groups, and I actually had a regional to working on the national level, but one thing I learned about the music industry at that time in the 80s, it was controlled by three major groups, and if they always sought to totally control, they wanted total controlling interest of your band. Okay, if you're gonna, you know, and if you either played their game or you didn't play at all, and the countless stories of really good artists who got ripped off, and I wondered about that, and then I've been connecting the dots. It's because the music industry is owned and controlled by the Tribe.
If you really want to get into the wild, really kind of dichotomy, get into the punk rock, the skinhead movement, metal, and then you'll see how always the more Marxist, anti-racist, kumbaya types have always been produced and pushed up versus, or the degenerates. They've always been pushed up into the forefront versus the traditionalist or the anything Christian or anything like racial. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? There's always been that dichotomy too, to where it's like anything that pushed the world kind of Kalergiite vision was pushed for first and foremost, where these people made a few bucks and all the guys like Ian Stewart of Screwdriver and all them were pushed away and then assassinated and everything else. And so the music industry is a perfect kind of microcosm into Hollywood, news, academia, and everything else. You'll see the same kind of template being applied across all those spectrums, to where anybody that really wanted to resist that world Borg, assimilate into, you know, whatever you want to call it, they were ostracized. And those that wanted to be the, you know, world kumbaya types, they were always brought in and given the favors.
Yeah, and here's, and on that note, something's coming to my mind, and I meant to, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and that is Jim Morrison. Okay, here we go with the USS Liberty. I've caught word.
Father was naval intelligence. Father was naval intelligence, yeah.
And so from what I, you help correct me, guide me with this, but from what I understand is that his father really wanted to investigate the USS Liberty, but yet John McCain, by the way, John McCain's father, an admiral, Admiral McCain was overseeing the European theater at the time, and he rubber stamped a 1 week investigation on the USS Liberty.
Dave McGowan. Dave McGowan is the guy to really look into with that West Coast kind of military and DARPA level intelligence penetration into the Doors, Grateful Dead, the Laurel Canyon stuff. I mean, that stuff, when you get into how deep and how synthetic the entire counterculture and all that stuff was on that came out of the West Coast, it's just so fascinating. Jan Irvin, who was on this network, all those guys did a lot of heavy lifting concerning all that.
Well, are you, from what I gathered is that Morrison's father wanted to do a deeper investigation into the Liberty, and the tribe or whoever warned him not to, and he didn't take it seriously, and therefore, Jim Morrison may not have taken his own life. He might have been suicided. Had you heard that?
I've seen that stuff floating around, and my gosh, you get into all of these people. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, none of us are going to know that. You know, you get into all the various, let's just say, hypotheses surrounding all these figures like Jimi Hendrix and you know, whether he was taken out or whether he killed himself. He started clicking up with some of the more nationalistic members of the Black Panthers and so forth, and he became more of a, let's just say, not the love and peace guy, but more or less he started becoming a little bit more militant against the government. That entire epoch in our time, Mark, was just like marked with assassinations and strange deaths.
Yeah.
And right. So, I mean, with Kennedy and all these people surrounding that little time frame, it's just fascinating. And all of us that get into that sort of research, I mean, it's just, you know, there's so many spectrums to dig into, but Kennedy right. and the anti-war counterculture, Jerry Garcia being CIA, that whole thing is just so fascinating. And right. then, of course, all the black artists, that's just another level. I mean, it's just wild to try to look at all of it and try to make heads or tails of it. It's hard.
There's one more thing I want to share with you about the USS Liberty. 2 weeks ago, and by the way, I do not believe in coincidences. I think that we are in the midst of synchronicity on high, man. Synchronicity events, synchronicity connections, synchchronicity.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Okay. Yeah. Now get this. 2 weeks ago, I was at a shopping center, and I happened to open the door for this older gentleman who was wearing a Navy veteran hat, right? And I gave him the nod, and he appreciated me opening the door for him. And turns out I passed by him later in the day, you know, just a little while later, I passed by him, and I struck up a conversation with him. Now, get this. What's the odds of this? Turns out that he served in from the mid-50s to the early 60s on a ship just like the USS Liberty. It was a communication ship, and now his was a secret ship.
Yeah. Wow, okay? Yeah.
And it was under the Department of the Air Force, not the Navy. That's how secret it was, his ship.
Yeah.
But now get this. This is what he told me. Now, this is the miracle that we have before us on the USS Liberty as a great, I call it the great reveal, a potential great reveal, for especially for Christians across this nation.
Hey, you know what? The USS Liberty and Building 7 are very similar. 9/11 Building 7, which is really indicated the nature of the 9/11 operation, but then the Liberty itself, I see parallels.
But now get this. And by the way, I'm a veteran, a Navy veteran myself. Yeah. I was a radar avionics radar tech. So now get this. He told me that that these ships were built, they were actually left over from World War II. They were Liberty ships. Now, I don't know if you know any history about the Liberty ships, but the Liberty ships were built like a massive, they built thousands of these Liberty ships during World War II. That's how many of them were sinking, okay? Now, they were built, most of them were built in 3 to 4 weeks, but many of them, he said, were built in as little as 4 days. I said, well, that's just, they just laid the hull and they didn't complete it. And he said, no, they completed the ship in 4 days. These ships were 400 feet long, Robert. And now get this. Here's the miracle of the USS Liberty. These hulls weren't that integral. They didn't have that much strength. Okay, he said, matter of fact, their ship had to be taken back to port 4 times to be rewelded because it would crack, right? So get this. So the Liberty being attacked for close to 2 hours and being torpedoed and being rafed and all this strafed and all this with bullets and, you know, 50 caliber, whatever, and it didn't sink. It didn't sink. Now, where would we be had the ship sank? We wouldn't know about it. Had the ship sank,
you know
we
what?
Wouldn't know
that's a darn like I said. So. That's like I said. God controls the universe. He controls the universe. He works in mysterious ways, but he controls the universe, and he leaves things for us on purpose. And you could attack that USS Liberty with anything you got, but there was a plan there in place to where he was gonna leave that for evidence for people like you and me later on to look at and be like, oh my gosh, here's some dots to connect. Same with 9/11. Same with 9/11 and Building 7, the way they dropped that thing when anything hit it.
But this is even less controversial, Robert, because it's undeniable. It's fact. And here's the thing. It's a great reveal for not only who did it, our bestest buddy ally, which we signed off for them to become a state. Harry Truman signed off so that they could become their own country. Huh? What's up with that? Why would our bestest ally attack our ship and then deny it and then say, well, it was mistaken identity. They thought it was a horse ship, an Egyptian horse ship.
Here's what I believe about Israeli Mossad and Amman and the state itself. They don't call any shots. There's levels of power above Israel, and which is, you know, the Rothschild gang and elements in Rome and so forth. They use the Israeli intelligence services as, let's just say, hired guns. And so you got to realize this. There's levels of power above the state of Israel. They're not the be-all to end-all. Rothschild Boulevard is not a boulevard just because Israel likes the Rothschilds. The city of London and all those things.
Are you saying they're a proxy?
I'm saying that they are not. They don't do anything without certain people's permission. Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, does not act alone. Let's just say he's got bosses. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And anybody wants to argue that with me can argue it, but he's not the most powerful guy in the world. He's just another puppet. Now, he's a puppet that is of the same tribe as the puppet master. And so he's got a special kind of relationship with the puppet master, but he's still not the puppet master. What I'm saying is the money changers, the Bank of International Settlements, the City of London, they order the Israelis to do what they're going to do. They're the lesser brethren to a certain extent. You see what I'm saying? Now, there's heavy hitters in the state of Israel that are right up there at the top of the pinnacle, but they don't make decisions, I don't think. I think, let's just say the guys that create money out of thin air for the entire planet, those are the guys that bark the orders. And some of them, a good portion of them, are of the tribe, and then other portions of them are of the blue bloods and the black nobility and parts of Rome and so forth. And I think it's a big kind of sick hybrid pedophile network where they keep everybody corralled with that kind of system. You know, that's just my opinion right now, because I've looked at it and I was like, you know what, is BB really the guy, or is he a guy that takes orders from some even heavier elements that are not visible? And I think anybody that's visible is not a shot caller. I've realized this throughout my life. The people that really aren't as visible are the real shot callers, and that's just where I see it right now.
Well, I appreciate that. By the way, one last thing I want to ask you. Is there a reliable way to reach you? You have an email that I could like
incendiary forward radio, incendiaryradio@gmail.com. You can hit me up with. That's my show email, incendiaryradio@gmail.com. And the chat room, incendiarychat.chatango.com, incendiaryradio.chatango.com to get in the chat rooms.
You being here, Robert. I appreciate your keen perspective and challenging us to think deeper. And I really appreciate that you're there challenging us, because I'm okay with staying up late listening to you. And I appreciate you opening up the phone call lines. And I know you don't want to do that all the time, but if you did it at semi regularly, that would be great, because then we could, or at least I can give you you have a channel to reach you with info or data that we got.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I sometimes I get so much stuff done, like on the day of the show, to where I can't even get to 40% of it, even if I don't open the phone lines. And then when I open the phone lines, I get into conversations. It's like if you looked at my notes right now, I've gotten to 10% of my notes. And so it's not anything against. I like interacting with audience. I mean, you guys are all great. You and Frank and David in California, Dave in Nevada, everybody. It's been great. I love the phone calls and to really connect with an audience. But sometimes it's like I do all this work and then bam, it's gone. I can't put it out on the air. And so it's a real trade-off. And you know, some hosts don't do any work. They want to just come on the air and then open the phone lines, and then they don't put any time into their show. Where me, I'm the opposite. I'm like one of these kind of, I'm a Virgo anal type freak show, that where it's like I do research for 5 hours and I scour the entire, you know, net of what I expose myself to, and then I don't get to any of it, and then I feel like a jerk, because it's like, man, you did all this work and then you didn't get to it. And so, you know, you got to realize it's a balancing act when you do a radio show. And it's just like, I know that if you've never done one, I've been doing it for almost 3 years now. And I consider it like I'm crafting it, to where it's like I try to make it better every time. I'm not trying to be like some chump that sits there, I don't know what to say next. I know I'm always trying to, you know, be a hardcore and into it, because it's like, you know, this is a passion. And if you're not doing this, if you're not behind a mic because it's a passion, then you should get off the air and let somebody like you or somebody else, because I can tell you got a passion in your spirit towards this stuff too, to where you should be behind a microphone, or one of these other guys are, Frank in North Carolina. You know, you guys should have your own shows, where some of these other people should get out of the way. And that's the way I see it.
Yeah. I agree. Well, you're keen, man, and I'm hoping. I'll let you go with this, but I'm hoping going forward that Trump and Sessions will clearly define what they're up to, and you know, take a stand and move in that direction. Because if he doesn't define if he doesn't make distinctions, clarify distinctions, and affirm them for us, then I don't know. It just seems like it's kind of lame.
Well, you know, Trey Gowdy, did you see the Trey Gowdy kind of pedophile network stuff he's going after? That's very fascinating too. You know, you want to like a guy like Trey Gowdy, man, Carolina boy. And he's talking crap on the pedos, and it's just like, is this another Benghazi where you're going to flutter and it's going to go away? Or, you know, because these pedo rackets that run DC and various factions in the city of London and elsewhere, it's like, you want these people brought to justice. Anybody that would take a child's innocence sexually needs to be immediately shot in the head or hung, in my opinion. And I'm not being a jerk. It's just like, look, you know, if in the ancient days, man, we're in the beginnings of this country, you people wouldn't live like 5 seconds without people taking you to the tree and stringing you up. But we've become so
weak. or at least tar and feathering you and head you toward the edge of town. I'll let you go with that, Robert.
All right,
I'll
thanks.
Let you go.
Man.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
See you. All right, see ya. But, you know, it's always great to have good callers like that. Let's go over this, and we're about to come up on a break. The Secret Service debacles. My gosh. What is this that we're facing with all of these penetrations of the White House property? Three of them in the last, couple weeks? Intruders. This little Asian guy. Now a guy pulls up saying he's got an explosive device. And now this other one. Somebody gets the laptop with the layout to Trump Tower and all this other crap that we see thrown out in the fake media. I mean, what are they really trying to, signal to us down here in Goyland, little children land, or those of us that are absorbing media? All these penetrations of White House security, and then Trump Tower, one of these Secret Service buffoons, supposedly loses a laptop with all the plans to Trump Tower. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that amaze you, listeners? I mean, do any of you believe all that? Wild. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. If anybody wants to call in, 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO-free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function.
Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
All right, we're back. Cinieri Radio, last half hour of the program, folks. You got the cojones, call in 1-800-313-9443. Otherwise, I will try to get to a bunch of this material. Mr. Producer, if you'll have clip two queued up, and this is about the next Russian official that has been whacked. Just another one. I mean, this is so wild that the Russians haven't struck somehow. And I know you guys are reading about them burying in the sand on the coasts weapons to basically hit us at a certain time. And this has been all over the internet. But let's hit clip two real quick.
We have yet again another high-ranking Russian official that is dead. And since the day of Donald Trump's election, these high-ranking Russian officials have been dropping like flies. And today's reports of a top Russian official from the space agency being found dead now brings that total to 8 just since the day of Donald Trump's election. Now, I've covered some of these events separately as they've happened, as we've come across them. There was also the incident of Vladimir Putin's personal driver that was involved in a crazy, deadly event that took place. But we had Andrei Karlov. He was the Russian ambassador to Turkey. He was assassinated by police, apparently, right there in what we thought was a semi-staged event. There were a lot of red flags with the shooting of that ambassador that was supposed to have been right there at the podium and everything else. But on the same day, another diplomat was also killed. He was shot dead in his Moscow apartment. Then we had Russia's ambassador to the United Nations, Vitaly Churkin, died in New York this past week. Churkin was rushed to the hospital out of his office at Russia's UN mission and initial reports said that he suffered a heart attack. Now, the medical examiner is investigating the death, but then we have another Russian ambassador went to India, Alexander Kadakin. He died after a brief illness, they say. And then the Russian consul in Athens, Greece, Andrei Milanin, was found dead in his apartment on January 9th. They said that there was no evidence of a break-in, but he was killed. And one of these other ones, the guy that was shot, Peter Polshikov, he was the other diplomat that was shot on the same day as Karlov. They found the gun under the bathroom sink. So it wasn't suicide. Then we have an ex-KGB chief, Oleg Erlovenkin. He was apparently suspected of helping to draft the whole Trump dozier. He was found dead in the back of his car December 26th. Then, on the morning of the U.S. election, if we go back further than 3 months, on the morning of the U.S. election day, Sergei Krivov, he is a Russian diplomat. He was found unconscious at the Russian consulate in New York, and he died on the scene. Now, the initial report said that he fell from the roof and had a blunt force injury, but the Russian officials said he died from a heart attack. So, a lot of weird stuff with these deaths. Then, in November 2015, a senior advisor to Putin...
Let's stop it there, Mr. Producer. I mean, you guys are getting it. Just another one. I mean, these... And I've got to get to the notes. I've got about 20-something minutes left, but I wanted to get to this. This is out of this book I just got from Tex Mars, Atomic Bomb Secrets, David J. Dionisi. I think this is a Jesuit book. Written by Jesuits. I don't know, but I wanted to read this part because of the North Korea everywhere, just like Fukushima's everywhere. North Korea now, Kim Jong-un, Rex Tillerson, everything's on the table, blah, blah, blah. This book says Korea divided. To believe the official story of why the United States government divided Korea is to believe this tragedy was more by accident than by design. The 38th parallel, established in 1945. To believe that lie also requires not knowing the truth of Japan's almost 36-year colonial rule of Korea, or why the United Nations authorized military action in 1950. The truth is that the 1905 Portsmouth Agreement, 1945 Division of Korea, 1950 Korean War, and 1951 Treaty of San Francisco were all orchestrated by men serving the Brotherhood of Death. And now by Brotherhood of Death, this book's talking about people across all different factions, kind of Kosher Nostra, people in some of the secret societies, and people, let's just say, in some of the penetrated elements of the Vatican. In 1905, Secretary of War and future President William Howard Taft met secretly with Japan's foreign minister. Taft politically represented the United States but served the Brotherhood of Death as a Skull and Bones member. Taft arranged for the United States to support Japan's occupation of Korea in return for Tokyo's support for U.S. colonial domination of the Philippines. The PI, baby. The 1905 agreement was codified in the Treaty of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and signed that same year by President Theodore Roosevelt. As a result, Japan immediately began to occupy Korea and claimed it as a Japanese possession in 1910. The division of Korea, opposed by almost all Koreans in 1945, was the result of a Brotherhood of Death plan to create a Stalinist and isolationist state. The false version of how Korea was split when World War II ended is taught in many schools. Students are often instructed that Korea was neither a high priority or given much thought by President Truman's subordinates. The writers of history books sometimes further attempt to cloud the truth with the notion that the U.S. government was reluctant to take trusteeship of Korea because U.S. officials were already overwhelmed with administering the Philippines and Japan. This line of thinking promotes the idea that even though the U.S. was the world's only nuclear power in 1945, Korea was split to appease Stalin. The official narrative credits two military officers, David Dean Rusk and Charles Hartwell Bonesteel III with making the decision to split the country into North Korea and South Korea. The Ruskin-Bonesteel plan was ultimately enforced as part of General Order No. 1. The senior Japanese commanders and all ground, sea, and air and auxiliary forces within Manchuria, Korea, north of the 38th latitude, and Karafuto shall surrender to the commander-in-chief of Soviet forces in the Far East. And it goes on about North Korea and its creation. But you got to realize this Stalinist state, okay? Remember Chiang Kai-shek, the Chinese nationalist that was run out to Formosa, which later became Taiwan. And then the State Department, all the Zio gang supporting Mao, the Stalinist Mao, who did the Cultural Revolution in China, killed, what, 60, 70 million people. The whole thing, the Zio communist takeover of that part of the world, that was all in cahoots with the sick, twisted Bolshevik elements in the United States government. And so I just wanted to get that out there. So let's go through some other stuff. I got 19 minutes. So I read through the North Korea Facebook. This is all over the place. So they're shielding the kiddie porn weirdos, the people that like looking at little kid pictures and the rest of it. But they're censoring even bigwigs in alternative media like Paul Joseph Watson and so forth. So the big All News Pipeline article, Facebook protects the kiddie porn magnates while they censor guys like Watson. Let me get to this. And this is, clear your mind for a second, listeners. Okay. So, Eric John Phelps, Vatican Assassins, Greg Szymanski, Alan Lamont, all these guys that say basically the Jesuits and the Catholic Church alone control the planet. And every time a Jewish person or Jewish organized crime elements do anything, it's under Vatican auspices, and then basically Kosher Nostra never does anything without Rome's permission. These are the guys, I want to push their angle for a second, run it by you guys, and see what you think. So I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, kind of meditating. So you push whites to the brink of patience in Western Europe with all the immigrant crap, Turkey, Erdogan, all the Donma crypto Jews and all that. You manage the white lash into a new kind of Third Reich, but it'll be the Fourth Reich. But it'll be controlled by the Jesuit kind of Knight of Malta system. The same ones that really built Hitler. Then you flip the switch, you know, like Pope Francis. He's getting raked over the coals right now by some of the rabbis for his anti-Jewish rhetoric. And this is in Breitbart and other places, that basically by Pope Francis talking smack on the Pharisees and their legalism and, you know, just like basically the New Testament does. The New Testament pretty goes off on the Pharisees for being a bunch of legalistic kind of whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. That whole kind of sector that you read about in the Bible. Some of the rabbis in Italy are really trying to rake Bergoglio over the coals by saying he's being anti-Semitic by kind of bringing up how modern Christians are being kind of Pharisees. Okay, so they don't even like the fact that Pope Francis, who's got buddies like Rabbi Skorka and Argentina, liberation theology, commie, Jesuit crap, he can't even talk about the Pharisees in sermons being legalistic and so forth. And these Jews are getting triggered, okay, to the point where it's like, oh, he's being an anti-Semite because he's talking about the Pharisees. And we know if you get into the Babylonian Talmud, it really props up the Pharisees as like pimps of all pimps. And so you can see why this brings forth this kind of a little clash here. But what I want to maintain is watch the Jesuits at Georgetown. Watch the Pope and the Black Pope, the new one from Venezuela. Watch for them to maybe turn to the right. I don't know if it's going to happen. They might stay left-wing, liberation theology commies until I'm dead. I don't know. But Eric Phelps and some of these other guys, they think that the Jesuits are going to turn hard right and go full-blown Nazi all over again. And they're going to try to kill off all the Jews in North America and in Europe. That's their kind of Christian Zionist Protestant paradigm, that the Jesuits are going to turn right, the Catholic Church and the alt-right and this kind of white resurgence is all going to be managed by the Vatican, and it's all synthetic, and they're going to all kill off all the Jews. And see, basically what they're trying to say is all these Jews who have taken part in the Federal Reserve, all the left-wing Bolshevik movements, all the anti-white movements, all the cultural Marxist Frankfurt School movements, they're trying to say that all these people were actually managed by the Vatican and the Jesuits to set them up so when the tide turns far right, that all these white Christian Catholics are going to kill them. Because, see, the evil Jesuits told these Jewish people to all be a bunch of left-wing Bolshevik anti-white jerks, that they wouldn't do that on their own. See, they're all innocuous. They're all just good people, and they would never have an anti-white bone in their body, or they would never have an anti-Christian bone in their body. And Sarah Silverman, see, she's really a Jesuit, and she really likes decency and, you know, good stuff. And the only reason she's a raunchy comedian is because the Jesuits told her to be that way. You see, that's, you know, it's rather ridiculous to try to make that stretch. But some of these Protestant anti-Catholic researchers out here try to say that basically anytime a Jew does anything evil, because the Roman Catholic Church told them to be that way. You see, they're not sinners themselves, antichrist, deicidal sinners. No, because Rome told them to be that way, that's why they're that way. And so, you know, that's really a far stretch. And I still read these people's stuff because you can glean some things from it, but it's really silly. You know, Jewry's got its own knuckleheads. The Jesuits, Rome, they got their own knuckleheads. Islam's got its own knuckleheads. White people got their own knuckleheads. Black Americans sure got their set of knuckleheads. They kill each other with impunity on our streets. The La Raza Mexican weirdo, they all got their own knuckleheads. The Colombians, the Salvadorians, the Guatemalans, they got their own knuckleheads too. You know why? Because they're all sinful human beings. We're all sinners. None of us is special. And some people want to say, oh my gosh, these Jews, they're demon seed. Well, guess what? Look at your own people that look just like you, that are hooked on heroin, and you'll see a demon seed too. They'll steal you blind. They'll go into Walmart and boost anything they can. They'll break into your car. Doesn't matter what color they are. When they're hooked on dope, guess what? Doesn't matter. They'll take you out. I'm sorry, I got some callers and I didn't even see it. Let's take Chaba in Canada. Sorry about that, man. I didn't mean to. I wasn't paying attention. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all right, Robert. No worries, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just ranting. You know, I had to work till 8:30, so I didn't have a long time to put the show together, but I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, no, it's all right. No, man, it's all good. No, I just, not to beat a dead horse, I just wanted to chime in on Trump to kind of give maybe a different perspective than, you know, most people look at, because it seems to be like, it's like with Trump, a lot of people are like, on one side of, you know, the extreme, that, you know, Trump is all like, you know, he's potentially Jewish and everything like this, and then the other side is, well, no, he's just duping the Jews until
Or like, you know, Alex Jones, he's a Patriot sleeper cell, you see, and he's here to be George Washington 2.0.
And so I wanna give like kind of potentially my perspective on it, which I would think, like, you know, doing, you know, real estate and everything, and his dad was involved in it and all this stuff. So I'm thinking, you know, Trump was, you know, surrounded by Jews all his life. So maybe that, you know, I'm just throwing this out there that maybe the dealings that Trump's had with Jews all his life, they've been pretty decent. I mean, probably the occasional Jew did screw him over, what have you.
You know what,
right?
I think he's ran into a hybrid, like some jerks and some people that were decent. I think that's human nature. And I think that he's like, you know what, some of these guys are real pricks and some of them are all right. You know what I mean?
Okay, but what I was going to throw out there is the perspective that Trump is, he thinks that, you know, for, like, what I was trying to get at is that he's been surrounded by Jews all his life, and they've been, most of them have been pretty decent to him, and he thinks, let's say Jews are good people. Like, he's not on this thing of, oh, you know, Jews are out, you know, for the New World Order, this, that, and the other thing, because they've always been, like, pretty decent. They've bailed them out financially. I mean, they give him a TV show. They threw him out there in the media. And even if he's been up to shenanigans, like with Roy Cohn and whatever, who knows what he got himself into, the media has always protected his butt, right? So, yeah. You know, from his perspective, he's always been treated well by the Jews. So, you know, it doesn't mean that he's necessarily working for them, but his perspective, hey, these are good people. They've always helped me out, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. In your personal, I'm just asking you, the guy in Canada, is it possible for somebody that grew up in a Jewish household to be an American patriot, or is there something genetically defective about them where they have to be aligned with Israel and they got to hate America and they got to hate the goy? Is there room for a Jewish person to be a patriot, or are there something genetically wrong with them where they could never be an American patriot?
Well, you know what, Robert? I'll be honest with you. I have not had the only interaction I've ever had with somebody that was like pretty much, I could say, a true blue Jewish was when I was very young. I'll try to make this quick because your show is coming to an end.
Yeah, well, I got one more caller. I got one more caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I'll try to make this in like a minute or two. When I was in grade school, my best friend actually was Jewish. Right, his name was Erez. And so, anyways, to make a long story short, I got into smoking weed, right? And of course, I got him to smoke weed. And it was his dad found out, and they weren't rich or wealthy or anything, right? They weren't bankers or diamond merchants.
Right,
but
right.
Nonetheless, they were pretty relatively, I would say, poor, right? His dad worked in a bakery, whatever. But as soon as his dad found out that he started smoking weed, guess what happened to him? He got shipped to Israel to kibbutz, right? So the brainwashing begins, right? So I'll just, you know, put it that way. Is, you know, so this is, you know, people say race, genetics. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, or just
ideology. Let me tell you this. I know some Jewish people in the punk rock scene here in St. Louis that are completely dysfunctional. I'm talking, I've been strung out. You know what I'm saying? The whole deal to where this toxic culture, it encapsulates everybody. Even if you might think that, oh my gosh, this person's Jewish. They're, you know what? I know some Jewish people that are like totally been trashed by the same toxic culture that has been thrown upon all of us. And so, see, there's an overlap here that a lot of people don't want to address that, hey, this thing it toxifies everybody. That gets in its way. And so, you know, you got to look at it on kind of that realm.
Oh, sure.
Well.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's I guess it's more comfortable to just label everything black and white because.
Exactly. Yeah. Because see, it makes it easy to compartmentalize everything when you say, oh my gosh, we can put everything into our own little personal filing system. And then therefore, my life is organized. Well, guess what? It isn't that way.
Yeah, that's right. I know so many people in my life that they don't even want to get out of that black and white mentality of, you know, left and right or whatever have you, right? Because then you get, once you get into that gray area, now you really have to start using your noodle, right, to try to figure.
What about that Muslim girl over in England that got caught twerking in a hijab? Boy, she was getting death threatened the whole whole nine yards. And so, yeah, it crosses all spectrums, man. Let me get to this other caller, though. Thank you for the call.
Hey, Robert. Yeah, man. You take care, brother.
All right, you too, bro. Let's take Bruce in Texas. You got the last word, Bruce.
Sorry, my man.
Hey, you got it?
I got something queued up for you. It's maybe a minute and 50 seconds long. Ever since he passed, there was a void kind of in my political life that you have filled. I'm talking about Michael Collins Piper.
Oh, yeah. He used to be on this network. Yeah, the great Michael Collins Piper. Yeah.
Man, I've got a show that I've saved Oklahoma City when he was on the Ugly Truth. That this is no wonder they killed him. But check this out. The very end is going to be the hook. And I wish Kelso could hear this. He'd probably flip. Here it comes. If that's sounds good, let me know, and I'll turn it up or down.
All right.
And did Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu receive a rapture reception worthy of a rock star from lawmakers and both sides of the political aisle on Capitol Hill. Washington Post says U.S. lawmakers and diplomats jammed the back walls and aisles of the crowded House chamber during the speech. Netanyahu was given a two-minute ovation when he entered the room and two dozen standing ovations during the 50-minute address. Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said, "I found almost nothing in it with which I disagree." My God. God, what? What bootlickers? What bootlickers? Dare I say it? What ass-kissers? You know, these guys know better. These guys are all up there pushing forward to be as one with Netanyahu. You know what they talk about.
All right, Bruce. Mr. Producer, go ahead and turn that down. But thanks for that, Bruce. And let me just address that because I got probably about a minute left. Netanyahu is visible. He's the prime minister of Israel. Now, the real power players in this country, in this world, don't like to really show themselves, but they do like to make the goy grovel before one of their chief proxies, which is Netanyahu. See, he's the face of world Jewry, but he's not the power of world Jewry. You got to realize the prime minister of Israel serves at the behest or at the pleasure of other factions, and that is basically your City of London, Bank of International Settlements, Basel boys. And these are the chief money changers of the planet. So just as Obama was the face of the American corporation, Netanyahu's the face of the Israeli thing. But the real power players, they don't like showing their faces. They like having puppets that they put out for us to look at. And so we have to realize that Netanyahu is powerful, but he's nobody compared to the true power, which is the power to coin money and regulate its value thereof. He doesn't do that. So remember that. Love everybody. All the callers, man. Awesome. Great show. Appreciate everybody for listening. Share the show. Put it on YouTube. Put it out there. RBN, great network. Support RBN. Thank you. Thank you, Ken, the great board op producer. Without him, I couldn't do the show. Thanks.
$6,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2. Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.